Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked up Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief aforementioned introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Kuf. Before we begin the shiur itself, before we learn the Gemara itself, you'll notice in the Gemara a double underline, which is one of our series markings, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, you can see we've noted the double underline signifies Memros Shel Abaye. Two comments of Abaye will appear. The Nosei, the topic heading that we have here, is as follows: Siluk Mechitza Vanochas Chefetz Bevas Achas. The change of a domain from a non-Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaYochid, for example. That's the concept of Siluk Mechitza, would be the establishment of a new domain, and the placing down of an item that happens simultaneously. Al Yedei Zrikas Machtzelis L'soch Bor Omoik Yud V'Rochov Ches. Through the throwing of a Machtzelis is a mat. If one were to throw a mat into a pit that has the dimensions of 10 tfochim in depth and 8 tfochim across in width, and he throws a mat into the pit, thereby dividing it into two halves, previously the pit had a Rishus HaYochid status. In other words, 10 tfochim of depth and 8 tfochim of width is a Rishus HaYochid. In this case, with the mat falling into the pit, on either side of the mat, being that the mat has its own thickness, there is less than 4 tfochim of width on either side of the mat that was thrown into the pit in a vertical fashion. So, you were standing in a public thoroughfare and threw this mat in a vertical fashion into the pit. Are you guilty of Hoitzoa Shabbos? And as we've said a number of times in our previous shiurim, the act of Hoitzoa, of transfer of item from one domain to another, is premised on the fact that you did an Akira and a Hanocha, a picking up and a placing down. In this case, the placing down took place at the very same time that the identity of it being a Rishus HaYochid was nullified. So does that constitute a placing down when it wasn't placed down in what, in effect, is a non-Rishus HaYochid? Let us now turn to the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Bor Rishus HaRavim, Amuko Asora, we're of course 8 lines from the top. Abaye tells us a pit in a public thoroughfare that is 10 tfochim deep, v'ruchava shmona, and 8 tfochim across or in width. V'zorak l'soicha machtzelis, and the person threw into it a machtzelis, a mat. Chayov, he is guilty if he throws it in a non-dividing fashion. In other words, he throws it in and it just lands at the bottom of the pit. So he is chayev for having taken the machtzelis, done an akira in the Rishus HaRabim, and a hanocha in the Rishus HaYochid. However, chilko b'machtzelis poter, if he divided the pit into two halves, so he is exempt. This is according to Abaye. The Gemara now ties into Daf Tzadi Tes Omid Beis. So the Gemara continues, pointing out Shitas Abai that we just learned, and Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, who was mentioned fact on Tzadites Amid Beis. So first Abaye, the Gemara says, Abaye de Pshita le de Machtzelis Mevatlo Mechitza. According to Abaye, that a mat that in general has uses for the person. He uses it for covering things or for sitting on it. And yet, Abaye says that by throwing the mat in this vertical fashion into the bor, it's mevatel the mechitza. That means it's mevatel the bor from being a rishus hayochid. So if a mat, which a person might on occasion take out and use for other purposes, is considered a mevatel mechitza, kol shekein chulya de mevatlo mechitza. Now, you'll see there's an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating tzadi tesomit beis. Back on Tzadi Tesomid Beis, you'll find also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text a corresponding arrow. And the Gemara there had dealt with an issue of taking some dirt and throwing it from a Rishus Harabim into a pit. The pit was 10 tfachim deep with the dirt falling into the bottom of the pit. It's no longer 10 tfachim deep. So, according to Abaye, that the mechitza, which is something that you don't necessarily leave there permanently in the pit, the mechitza that is the machzelis, the mat, is which is something you don't necessarily leave permanently in the pit, yet it is effective in changing the status of the pit, all the more so the topic discussed back on Daf Tzadites, all the more so chulya, dirt. If you threw dirt into the pit, the depth of the pit now is no longer 10 tfachim deep, no longer having the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid, certainly that will constitute bitul mechitza, and you will be exempt. Because in the final analysis, you threw dirt into that which is not a Rishus HaYochid. So you haven't gone from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid. It's a karmelis at that point, and therefore it would be exempt from a Torah perspective. L'Rab Yochanan, on the other hand, L'Rab Yochanan de Mabaya Le Chuya, Rab Yochanan raised it as a question. He didn't come to a conclusion. The issue of the dirt, Machzeles Pshita de Lo Mevat Lo Mechitza. A Machzeles, which is something you don't leave in the pit. As we said, it has other uses, so you're not Mevatilit, you don't nullify it or abandon it to the pit. Therefore, the Machzelis case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is clearly not Mevatel the Mechitza. And just like throwing a mat and it landing in the bottom of the pit would be Chayev, so too, throwing the mat and it landing vertically dividing the pit, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he would be Chayev. The Omar Rebbe of the Omar Abaye, Bor B'Shus HaRabim, Amuka Asor Uchava Arba. Again, you see another comment of Abaye that was signified by the double underline. So Abaye says that if you have a bor in a public thoroughfare that has these dimensions, it is 10 tfachim deep and it's 4 tfachim in width. In other words, it would have the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid. Now it depends. Mleo Mayim, if the pit is filled with water, Vizorak Lesocha, Chayavin, you threw something into the pit. So the fact that water is there doesn't diminish the dimensions of the pit, and therefore he will be Chayav. He has thrown into a Rishus HaYochid. However, Mleo Peros, if that pit was filled with fruits, Vizorak Lesocha Potter, and the pit filled with fruits, he then threw an item into it, so he will be exempt. My taima, why? Why the difference? Answer, mayim lo mevatli mechitzta, peros mevatli mechitzta. Water doesn't change the status of it as being a rishus hayochid, and peros do, are mevatl, they nullify the status of it being a rishus hayochid. That's the concept of mevatli mechitzta. It nullifies its status. Tanyo nami hochim, we have a Tanaic source that supports the idea that mayim is not mevatel mechitzta. Now, our advice is not to sit at the edge of your chairs to see in this source a clear support. However, after we learn the source and then we learn the Rashi, then it will be a bit clearer where the support for our distinction is made. So the Gemara brings a Tanaic source, Tanya Nami Hochi, Hazorek Minayam Lisratya, Umina Asratya Liyam. If a person throws from the sea, the Yam is the sea, Asratya is a public area, we'll call it a Rishus Harabim, or he throws from the Asratya to the sea, Potter, he is exempt. The sea has a carmelous status, so that you haven't changed the location of the item that you threw from one Torah level, Torah classified area to another, because the Carmelis is a rabbinic classification. Therefore, he is exempt. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im yesh b'mokoim shezorak omoik asor ochav arbo, if in the sea, now as everyone knows, the sea floor is not something that's even. So if in the sea floor where he is standing there is a cavity, a depression that measures 10 tfochim of depth and 4 tfochim wide, even though it's filled with water, it's on the sea floor, and he throws the item let's say from the Rishus HaRabim, and it lands in that depression in the sea, he will be chayav. So we see from here the concept of that mayim is not mevatel mechitza, and Rashi is clear on that topic. From Reb Shimon we see this concept. The Mishnah Hazorek Arba Amos Bekosel. This is a Mishnah that we've seen quoted already a couple of times, and here it is at its source. This is the Mishnah that we've seen quoted before. Someone throws an item, 4 amos, onto a wall. 4 amos, and we're talking, of course, he is standing in a Rishus HaRabim. Lamala me'asor tfochim kezorik ba'avir. If it lands on the wall more than 10 tfochim from the ground, it's as if he's throwing in the air. In other words, it's a non-Shabbos violation. And if it lands on the wall within 10 tfachim of the ground, it's as if he's throwing on the ground and he has violated the Avera of Zorek Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim. Zorek Boretz Arba Amos Chayav, if he throws something on the floor a distance of 4 Amos, and the floor being a Rishus HaRabim, so he has violated Hilchus Shabbos. The Gemara asks, by throwing at the wall, the ha lo noch. We said that if he throws at a height of less than 10 tfochim from the ground, then it lands on the wall, so he's guilty. But in order to have Shabbos guilt for hoitzah, you have to have an akira and a hanocha. It has to stop. But it didn't stop. It rebounds off the wall. If you throw something at a wall, it'll rebound off. And when it rebounds off, it's not going to have traveled a distance of 4 amos. And why should he be guilty? Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'dveilo shmeino shoninu. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Mishnah is teaching the case of a dveilo shmeino. It's a dveilo is a compressed figs, if they're compressed into a cake form, and figs, when you do that, they're very sticky. Shmeino means fatty, and it will stick to the wall, so that when you threw this dveilo at the wall from a distance of 4 amas from the wall, it therefore does come to a stop, and that's its hanocha. Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav, Omer Rabbi Chiya, Zorak l'malo me'asora, a person threw something above 10 tfochim, v'ocha v'nocha b'chor kol shehu, and it landed in a hole in the wall. And this discussion concerns a throwing of something above 10 tfochim. We know that Rishus HaRabim goes up till 10 tfachim, it doesn't go above 10 tfachim. Here it lands in a wall. The chor, though, is of negligible size. The wall itself is 10 tfachim at least of height, it's more than 10 tfachim, and it has a thickness of 4 tfachim. So the wall itself in this particular discussion is itself a Rishus HaYochid. The item thrown lands in a hole in the wall, and the hole itself is very small. Bonu l'machloikis Rameir v'Rabbonan. This brings us into a controversy between Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbonan. Rabbi Meir and Rabbonan have a machloikis elsewhere, and the Gemara here makes an allusion to that particular machloikis. La Rabbi Meir de Omar chikikin lahashlim mechayev. According to Rabbi Meir, that views the potential as the actual. Hokiken means to hollow something out. That if in your mind's eye, when you look at the wall, it has the dimensions that would allow me in my mind's eye to hollow it out, and it would then have the dimensions of 4x4, being that we're at a height more than 10, so this person would be chayav. We're looking at the hole, this negligible size hole, as if it's 4x4 tvachim, and we know that it's a height of more than 10 tvachim, so the hole would have a rishus hayochid status. So he's thrown from a rishus haravim into the hole, and since chokikin lahashlim, we hollow out to complete the dimension, then he would therefore be chayav. The Rabbanan d'amri, according to the Rabbanan that say ein chokikin lahashlim, we don't view the potential as if it is in actuality. Lo mechayev, he is not guilty because he has thrown something that landed in a negligible size hole, which is not a rishus hayochid. Therefore, he's not guilty of having thrown from a rishus harabim to a rishus hayochid. Tanyo nami hochi, we have a Tanaic source that supports this analysis. Zorak lemala me'asora, he threw an item more than 10 tfochim above the ground. V'hoch v'nocha b'chor kolshu, again, he threw from a rishus harabim, and it landed at a height of more than 10 tefachim from the ground. It landed in a hole, a hole kolshu that's of negligible size. Rabbi Meir mechayev v'chachom impotra. Rabbi Meir holds him as culpable of violating Hilchis Shabbos, and the chachomim say he is exempt. We have a new topic on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei heading. You can see we've written tail hamislaket asora mitoch arba amos. A tail is a mound or a hill that reaches a height of 10 tfochim before you have traveled more than 4 amos. So as you are walking up this mound, before you have walked more than 4 amos, before a distance of 4 amos has been covered, the tail has already reached a height of 10 tfochim. So we'll say that's a certain gradient, if you will. You can make a type of ratio, being that 4 amos is 24 tfochim, because each amo is 6 tfochim. So as you're walking up the a 24 amo length angle, you reach a height of 10 tfochim before walking more than 24 tfochim, which is before walking more than 4 amos. That hill has a status of a rishus hayochid. So that a gradient of that nature, it's as if it were a sheer wall for our purposes. The Gemara continues. Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, tail hamislaket asora mitoch arba. A tail, a mound that rises 10 tefachim within 4 amos. Vezorak v'noch al gabov, and you threw something and it landed on the top of this mound, and you threw it from a rishus harabim, from a public thoroughfare, and it landed on the top of this mound, chayav. He will be guilty of having thrown from a private, from a public domain and landing on a private domain. Tanyo nami hochi. And we have a Tanaic source that supports this. We have a frame around it, as we do all our Tanaic sources in Gemara markings. At the end of this source, you can see a dashed underline phrase, which is the same phrase that Rav Yehuda Omer Rav just taught us. Teil mislaket asor mitoch arba is mentioned. But before we get to the end of the source, there are other details mentioned. Let us now see the source. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a source supporting Rav Yehuda Omer Rav. Mavui. Mavui is a, literally, it's an alleyway off of which you have courtyards and houses. The alleyway opens into a rishus harabim, so that you're on a major through street, and if you turn off the through street into this alleyway, you're now walking into a mavui. The elevation of the through street and the mavui, though, are different from one another. Before we go further, though, we should point out a little bit more background information, and that is A mavui is in effect something that's closed on three sides, the fourth side opening to the public thoroughfare. On a Torah level, the mavui is considered a rishus hayochid. Three walls is sufficient for creating a rishus hayochid status, a private domain status. However, rabbinically, in order to caution people or to make people aware that he is that there is now a different domain, so a lechi or korah are positioned at the entrance to the mavui. A lechi is an upright pole, or a korah is a crossbeam over the entrance. In this source, we're going to describe a mavui whose height, or his altitude, if you will, is different than that of the Rishus HaRabim. And this this differential in height, in floor height, the differential in floor height, if it has the sufficient statistics, then you will obviate the need for of a korah or a lechi. The source reads, Movui. Aleph, two cases are featured in this source. Sheshava l'soichei v'nase midron l'rishus harabim, the mavui that has a, we'll say a flat interior, but as you go to the public thoroughfare, you go down a decline. So the mavui is higher than the rishus harabim. Oi, shava l'rishus harabim v'nase midron l'socho, or the mavui, in order to get into it from the public thoroughfare, you have to go down. It's a decline into the mavui. Namely, the Rishus HaRabim is higher than the mavui. So in the Aleph case, the mavui is higher than the Rishus HaRabim. And in the Beis case, the second case, the Rishus HaRabim is higher than the mavui. Osa mavui, eino tzorach lo lechi velo korah. That mavui, being that its height is different than the Rishus HaRabim, does not require a lechi, or an upright pole, or a korah crossbeam. The midron, the decline that was featured, is instead of a mechitza, instead of a wall, or instead of the necessary heker recognition element that would otherwise be needed at the entrance of a mavui. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Teil ha-meslakeit asora mitoch arba, a mound that reaches a height of 10 tvachim within 4 amos of gradient, v'zorak v'noch al gabov, and you threw something and it landed on the top of this mound, chayav, you threw, of course, from a rishus harabim, and it landed on the top of this mound, which is considered a rishus hayochid, thereby engenders culpability. The Mishnah. Zorak l'soich arba amos v'nizgalgil chutz l'arba amos poter. If someone threw something with the intention of it landing within 4 amos, and of course we're dealing with someone throwing in a rishus harabim, and it's nizgalgil, it means it rolls more than 4 amos away, he is exempt. Chutz l'arba amos, if he threw something at a distance of more than 4 amos, and v'nizgalgil l'soch arba amos chayav, and it rolled to within 4 amos, he is guilty. The Gemara asks, why should he be guilty? V'ha lo noch. The item did not come to a hanocha at a distance of chutz l'dal and amos, outside the 4 amos. And as we've said many times, you're not in violation of these halochas of hoitzop unless you have an akira and a hanocha. And for Zorek Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim, you'd have to have the Hanocha more than 4 Amos away to have guilt, but it didn't land, it didn't stop, it didn't come to a Hanocha, point of stopping outside of the 4 Amos. So the Gemara answers, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, V'hu Shenoch Al Gabi Mashu. So Rabbi Yochanan adds that what happened in the Mishnah is that it actually did come to a halt, to a stoppage on Gabi Mashu, on something of negligible size. But the main point is that it came to a stoppage at the distance of more than 4 amos. After that, it rolled back within the 4 amos. Rashi adds, very importantly, We have a little star, so you can go directly to the point. Rashi says, three lines under the Gemara text, V'uadin im achzosei haruach ba'avir. The same halacha would apply if a wind was blowing, and the item, as a result of the, we'll call it the whirlwind, was blown and halted as a result of the swirling of the wind. It halted in midair. The akvosimad, and it delayed the item momentarily. The acharkach nisaso, and after that it blew it back in to within the four amas. The choshivnami anocha, it's also considered anocha im besoch kimelhu if that happened within three tfachim of the ground. Now the Gemara continues. Tanya nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that there will be guilt if it's noch al gabi mashihu. Rashi pointed out that noch al gabi mashihu includes a case of the wind suspending it in midair within three tfachim of the ground, as well as called hanocha al gabi mashihu. Now, the Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, Zorak chutz la'arba amos, someone threw something at a distance of more than four amos, v'dochvosoi ho'ruach v'chnisoso, and the wind blew it back in, v'afopisha chozura v'hotzi oso, even though the continued wind blowing carries it back out, more than four amos, potter. He is exempt. Ochzosoi ho'ruach mashehu, if the wind suspended it in midair, momentarily, af al pi shechozra v'chnisoso, we should point out it suspended the item in midair beyond the four amos, even though it blew it back in, he is chayev. So we see from here, and we've dashed underline ochzosei ruach mashu as the point that supports Reb Yochanan, and we appreciate this all the more by the fact that we learned the Rashi beforehand. So that ochzosei ruach mashu is tantamount to hanocha al gabi mashuhu, provided, of course, you're within three tfachim of the ground. The dimension of three tfachim is known to us as lovut. It's considered attached to the ground at that point. The Gemara continues with a comment made by Rava, and before we learn Rava's comment, we should just point out, by way of background, there was a machlokas that we have learned in the past between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan regarding a case of someone throwing something from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, and in the interim, it traveled through or traveled over a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain. The Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Kiva, they, the Rabbanan, do not hold of the concept of Kluto Kamisha Huncha. Kluto means something caught in the airspace. Caught means not that it stops, but it travels through the airspace of a particular domain. The Rabbanan hold that Kluto is not considered as if it is Huncha, as if it has come to a halt, a stoppage over there. So the fact that it merely travels through in a constant movement at a height within the domain of within a particular domain, it's not as if it stops there. So that if you threw from one Rishus HaYochid, one private domain, across a highway to another private domain, even if the projectile was traveling at an altitude of less than three tochim from the ground, it's not considered as if it's landed in that area. It's not as if it's landed in the Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara, Omar Rova, Toich Gimel L'Rabbonan, an item traveling within three tfachim of the ground, Tzorach Hanocha Al Gabi Mashu, in order to be considered guilty of it landing in the Rishus HaRabim, it actually has to stop, it has to land on something, even if it's of negligible size, in the Rishus HaRabim. Before we go further, let us look at the Rashi that adds quite a bit of information that is necessary for the continuation of the Gemara. We're looking at Rashi, three lines, four lines from the bottom. The Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, the pligi olei de Rabbi Kiva, that argue with Rabbi Kiva in the case of Bezorik, Mishus HaYochid, Mishus HaHav, Mishus HaRabim, Amta. He's throwing from one private domain to another private domain with a public thoroughfare in the middle. The less lehu kluto kamisha huncha, they, the Rabbanan, do not hold from the concept of kluto, that being in the airspace is as if it has come to a halt. Lo tema, don't say besoch gimu modu. Don't say that within three tefachim the Rabbanan will concede to Rabbi Akiva. Afilu toch gimul nami, even if the item is within three tefachim of the ground, sorech shianuach, it has to come to a halt. V'im ovar rishus harabim kula poter, and if the item doesn't come to a halt and it completely crosses the rishus harabim and then lands in the private domain, he will be exempt. In other words, the malacha is not completed until it lands in that next Rishus HaYachid. The mere fact that it's traveling over the Rishus HaRabim, if it doesn't come to a halt over the Rishus HaRabim, he will be exempt. V'nafgemina nami, there's another practical point of law that results from this. L'zorek arba amos, someone who throws something a distance of four amos. Ukshebo lonuach, v'higia l'soch gimel nizkar, shigigoso, ad shalonoch, as the item comes very close to the ground, but before it's actually landed, it comes within three tefachim of the ground, before it actually lands, he remembers that, oh, it's Shabbos, I shouldn't have done this. He remembers his shkoga, he remembers his error, his mistake, before it actually comes to a halt, even though he is remembering at a point within three tefachim of the ground, potter, he will be exempt from bringing a sin offering. Kidamrim b'masnisin, as the Mishnah says on Kuf Beis, that one is not guilty of bringing, one is not obligated to bring a sin offering, achtei tchiloso v'sofer shkog, until the beginning and the end of his act was done in a state of unawareness. For lo amrinon, and we do not say, ad shelo nizkar havi le munach. We don't say that that before he remembered it was already at a state of hanocha. We don't say that, so that even though it's within three tefachim of the ground, it's still in the middle of the act. It's not considered hanocha, and because it's considered in the middle of the act, his remembering that an error was done, that the shkoga was done, will thereby exempt him from bringing the sin offering. It's not a complete shgoga. It's not a shgoga from beginning to end. A sin offering is brought only when there is a shgoga, a mistake from beginning to end, and the undoing of that status is where one recalls the error before the completion of the act. The Gemara continues. Yosef Mremar v'ko'omar lo lahoshmaitzer. Mremar was seated and he said over Rava's teaching. Omar le Ravina l'mremar. Ravina reacts. And we turn to the top of Omid Beis. He says, Lav hainu masnisen. Is this not what our Mishnah teaches? The Omar Rabbi Yochanan v'hu shenoch al gabi mashehu. What Ravina is saying to Mremar is, you're not really telling us anything new. Is this not what the Mishnah is trying to convey? The Mishnah along with Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. If we look at the Rashi, explains, Lav hainu masnisin, Rashi at the top, Dekotani chutzlar ba'amos v'niz galgel, person threw something outside of four amos and it rolled back in. So the Mishnah says that he would be guilty. And it says Chayav, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shenoch. And Rabbi Yochanan says that guilt is only if it comes to a halt. Ha lo noch lo, if it doesn't come to a halt, so he would not be guilty. If it doesn't come to a halt outside the four amos, he would not be guilty. Midalo ukma Rabbi Yochanan kegon sheba l'soch gimel. We see from Rabbi Yochanan exactly what Rava taught, that the item thrown outside of four amos would have to come to a halt, and the fact that it is within three tefachim is not considered it coming to a halt. That is this not exactly what Rava was trying to say? So Mremar responds to Ravina, and he says, Omale misgalgel ko'amris, are you trying to say that Rava's din is has already been taught in the Mishnah in the case of misgalgel, something that the wind is blowing in the air. Misgalgel ein sof lo nuach. In the case of something swirling in the air, so it's not necessarily going to ever come to a point of rest. Theoretically, it could continue swirling in the wind. And therefore, it's important to have it come to a halt. Otherwise, he would not be guilty. Aval hai, in the case of throwing from one Rishus HaYoch to another Rishus HaYoch with the Rishus HaRabim in the middle, where there's no wind factor, Kevon de Sofo Lonuach, since it's going to come to a halt in the next Rishus HaYochid, I might have thought, Afagav de Lo Noch Kemande Noch Domi, even if it didn't come to an actual halt, the fact that it's within three Tvachim of the ground, that's enough to be considered as if it came to a halt. Chomash Mulan, Rava tells me that even in that case, where there is no ruach involved, there's no wind involved, it's not a misgalgel case, even there, it's not considered as coming to halt, even though it's within three tfachim of the ground. So therefore, I need Rava's teaching. From Rava's, without Rava, I would have come to a wrong, to an inaccurate conclusion. The Mishnah. Hazorek b'yam arba amos poter. If someone is standing in the sea and he throws something a distance of four amos, so he is exempt. The sea is a carmelis, not a public domain. So the rule of four amos of Rishus Ram does not apply to the sea. Im hoya rekak maim. Here, as we learned the Mishnah, it's important to pay attention to the dashed underlining. There are two kinds of underlinings you will see here. The rakak mayim is dot underlined, and the word mahaleches is dashed underlined. This will have significance when we get to the Gemara. Im hoya rakak mayim rishus harabim mahaleches bo. If there is a rakak mayim, we'll say we'll call it a puddle. In our discussion, see, it's a large puddle. So if you have this rakak mayim that's in the middle of the public thoroughfare. So you have a public thoroughfare going through a rakak mayim, a puddle or a pond, if you will. Hazorek lesocho arba amos chayav. If a person throws four amos there, so he will be chayav. In other words, the rakak mayim is considered a public thoroughfare. It has the same status as the Rishus HaRabim. The Kamahu Rakak Mayim, what is a Rakak Mayim as far as dimensions are concerned? Pochos Me'asor Tfochim, provided it has a depth of less than 10 Tfochim. Hence we called it a large puddle. Rakak Mayim Urshus Harabim Maleches Bo, Hazorek Besocho Arba Amos Chayov. One doesn't have to be of great intellect to notice the obvious redundancy of this Mishnah. Omar lei hahu merabonan l'rovan. Actually, before we go on in the Gemara, on the side of our Gemara, there are no say heading. We've noted Rishus HaRabim, Shoveres Derech Rekak Mayim, a public thoroughfare that goes through this Rekak Mayim. Hezber haGemara l'kfius aloshen loshen haMishnah. The Gemara will be preoccupied with this seeming repetition in the Mishnah. So, Omar Le'ahu Me'rabonan L'Rava. One of the Rabbonan said to Rava, Bishlamo Hiluch Hiluch Trezimni. I understand the Mahaleches term repeated twice. Ha Komashmalan. The Mishnah intends to convey the following idea. Hiluch Ayadei Adchak Shmei Hiluch. Tashmish Ayadei Adchak Lo Shmei Tashmish. The word Mahaleches appears twice for emphasis purposes. That walking, even if it's al yedei hadchak, the repeated expression is coming to tell me even if it's al yedei hadchak, meaning it's an uncomfortable tight walking, but nevertheless people do walk. We're talking about someone just walking through a puddle, so it's not comfortable. It's because of a type of dechak literally means one is pressured. It's an uncomfortable walking situation, but nevertheless people do walk through it, and that's considered normal And as we've mentioned many times in the past, Hilchos Shabbos entails an action done in a normal, regular fashion, so that even though it's unpleasant, people will wade through puddles. So it's considered a walking, giving it the status of the Rishus HaRabim itself. This is as opposed to Tashmish Ayadei Adchak, where so you have in the example that's given in Rashi is you have a pit, a depression that's 9 tefachim deep. And now it's something that you could bend over and use. You could store things in there. You can put your hat in there. That is called Tashmish Ayadei Adchak. Lo Shmei Tashmish. That is not considered normal use. And therefore, a pit, a depression of 9 tefachim down in the ground would not give that area, that depression, a Rishus HaRabim status. This is, by the way, as opposed to a projection or a pole of 9 tefachim in height, which is comfortable for the masses to use. People easily walk by a pole and hang their hats on this pole. So on Shabbos, that pole 9 tefachim high would have a Rishus HaRabim status. So the expression in the Mishnah is making the repeat of the word Malechus is making a distinction between Hiluch Ayadei Adchak is called normal walking, as opposed to Tashmish Ayadei Adchak is not called normal use. Ela Rakak Rakak Trei Zimni Lomali. Why does the Mishnah repeat the Rakak twice? The Gemara answers, Chad b'mois hachamo, v'chad b'mois hagshomim. One is to tell me about the summer season, the mois hachamo, and one about the winter season, that in both seasons, this puddle will have a Rishus HaRabim status. So we're here to answer the question of why is Rakak mentioned twice? So the first answer is, well, I need it twice to cover both seasons. You might ask, well, what do I need both seasons for? So the Gemara explains, Utsrichi, I need to be taught concerning both seasons. But before we go further, we should point out a marking and the triangle that appears in the Gemara. You see three of them. On the side, we have under our Mivneh heading, Shalosh Hesberim L'Kfilus Loshen Rakak Rakak B'Mishnosenu. Three explanations as to why the term Rakak is doubled in the Mishnah. So the first explanation involves the need to teach me about two seasons. The Rakak is a Rishus HaRabim, whether it be the summer, and the Rakak is Rishus HaRabim, whether it be the Yemos HaKshomim, the rainy season, or the winter season. Utsrichi, and I need both cases. I need both seasons to be mentioned. De'i Tana Chada, had only one season been mentioned, Have Amina, I would have thought Hani Mili B'mois HaChamo. I would have thought that the puddle will have a Rishus HaRabim status only in the summer, the Avidi Inshi, the Mizgi, it's normal for people to, Mizgi is to walk through it, Lakuri Nevshayu, to cool themselves off. By walking through the water, they cool themselves off from the summer heat. But in the winter, cold, rainy season, people would never walk through it. So had I had only Rakak taught once, I would have ascribed it to a puddle during the summer as having a Rishus HaRabim status, but in the winter it wouldn't have that. People wouldn't walk through it. And if the public doesn't walk through it, it would lose its Rishus HaRabim status. The E Ashmina B'mois HaGshomim, and had I had only Rakak taught once, I might have thought that it's referring to the winter. Came under Metanfi, since during the winter the roads are muddy anyway, lo ichbaslu, it wouldn't bother them to go through a puddle that is muddy as well. Avol b'mois hachamo, lo, but a puddle in the summer, why would a person want to walk through a muddy puddle in the summer when otherwise he is clean? Therefore, I have to tell me Rakak a second time to convey the point that not only in the winter season where people would out of non-concern walk through it. So too, even in the summer, it's considered a public thoroughfare. Abaye Omar Itzrich. Abaye says, I need the rakak taught twice. Salkadai techamino, hani mili. When is it a reshus harabim? Hecha delohavi, dalid amos. When it is not, when it's less than four amos across. Avol hecha dahavi dalid amos. If the puddle though measures four amos across, akufi makfile. I would have thought that people will walk around it, not walk through it. Therefore, the Tana taught Rakak a second time to tell me that even if it's four amos across, it still has a Rishus Harabim status. The term Akufi Makfi is to walk around it, like maybe you're familiar with the word Hakofis or Baltakif, which has to do with surrounding or going around something. Rav Ashi Omar Itzterich. Rav Ashi is a third explanation for the double Rakak in the Mishnah. Salkadai Techamina, had it been taught only once, Hani Mili, I would have thought, when is it a Rishus Harabim? Hecho Dehavi Arba. To the opposite of Abaye, it means only when it is so wide, it's four amos wide. Avol Hecho Delo Havoi Arba, if it's narrow, if it's less than four amos, so Mifsi Pasile, people would jump over it. So, therefore, we're taught even if it's less than four amos, it is something that people will walk through, and hence it has a Rishus HaRabim status. The Ozda, Rav Ashi Litame. Rav Ashi, by making this point that something that people will walk over, will step over, is nevertheless considered public thoroughfare, is Litame de Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says elsewhere, Haiman de Zorek, Vinoch Aguda de Gamlo, if one is standing on a plank bridge and he threw something and it landed on one of the planks, Mechayev, he is considered guilty. Let's just assume that this plank bridge is, let us say, it's a public thoroughfare. Let's say it's something like a boardwalk. So, even though the plank on which the item landed is something that people, not everyone walks on that plank, people step over it. Nevertheless, it's considered as if it's part of the Rishus HaRabim, Sharei Rabim Bokin Bo, because the public cuts through it. In other words, even if they don't actually put their foot on it, they walk over it. So the fact that people walk over it doesn't change its status as being part of the Rishus HaRabim. As we look over the Gemara, we try to add some markings by way of different types of underlining. So if it wasn't obvious, we'll just point out now, you can see the diagonal slash underline under the expression in each case, the tsrifi or itzterich word. You have that under the first answer, the number one, and after the second triangle, again you saw itzterich, and after Ravashi. We also dot underlined the expressions of hani mili and avol, where with it taught only once, I would have thought hani mili, I would have thought one thing, and I wouldn't have realized the avol, the other case. Hence we emphasize these different terms. As you can see, they are repetitious, and the marking shows the balance in structure. The Mishnah. Hazorek, min hayom liyabosho, min hayabosho liyam. We've broken this Mishnah down into several parts using Roman numerals and subcategories 1 and 2. Yes. So, in the first case, he's throwing min hayam liyabosho from the sea to the dry land. In this case, the sea is a Carmelis, and the Yabosha is the Rishus HaRabim, and the other way as well, from the Rishus HaRabim to the sea. Roman number 2, Umin Hayom Lisfino, Min Asfino Liam. He's throwing something from the sea to a boat. The boat is a Rishus HaYochid, or from the Rishus HaYochid, the boat, to the sea. Umen hasfina. This is a third situation. Umen hasfina lechaverta, or from one boat to another boat. Potter, he's exempt. So far in each of these cases, you can see he hasn't gone from one Torah domain to another Torah, to a different Torah domain. The Mishnah continues, Sfinos kshuros zu bezu, boats that are tied to one another, metatlin mizu lezu, one can carry on Shabbos from one to the next. Im einon kshuros, if they're not tied, even though they are next to one another, ein metafelin mizu lezu, one cannot carry from one to the other. Well, if they're not tied together, so as Rashi explains, the sea is in effect a separation between the two boats. So there's a carmelus between the two, and therefore you are doing something that's problematic. You're carrying from one boat through a carmelus, so to speak, or over the carmelus into another boat. So therefore one should not do that. The Gemara will elaborate on these cases. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our no say heading. Milui mayim lesfina min hayam. We're going to be talking about someone drawing water into a boat from the sea. He's drawing water from seawater into his boat. Itmar sfina, Rav Huna Omar, motzien heimeno ziz kolshu umimale. According to Rav Huna, if you want to draw water from the sea to the boat, so you extend from the boat, from the side of the boat, a little protrusion, and at that point you draw up the water. This little protrusion is something that's called heker bi'amo. We'll see more about this later in the Gemara. Rav Chisda v'Rabba b'Rav Huna Amri, they say, oise mokoim arbo'o umemale, that you'd have to extend from the side or from the edge of the boat a type of frame measuring 4x4 tfachim. In your mind's eye, the frame that you extended from the protruding from the side of the boat, imaginary walls descend down into the sea, creating an area that's surrounded by 4 mechitzas, 4 walls. And you would draw the water up through this frame. The Gemara now explains, we go over the shitas. You can see with our markings, we've dashed underlined Rav Huna, and on the first wide line, the other shita of Rav Chisda and Rav Huna. We also will be using a double underline, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, the double underline here represents Shnei Deois, Eich Moidedin Oimek Bimayim. Through 2 opinions of how we measure depth when it comes to matters of water. Mikarkois, from the sea floor, O Misfas Amayim, or do we measure from the surface of the water? This introduction is a bit vague, but it will become clear as we go through the cases in the Gemara. So now the Gemara continues. We continue with the dashed underline Rav Huna Omar. Moitzi Heimeno Ziz Kol Shehu. All you have to do is extend a little projection from the side of the boat and draw the water from that point. Umimale, and fill up the water. Kosovar, Carmelis, Rav Huna is of the opinion that a Carmelis, in this case the Carmelis we're referring to as the sea, Me'aro Mashchinon. Mashchinon means measured. A Carmelis has a Carmelis status only till a height of 10 tfachim from the beginning of your measurement. Above that, you're in an area called a mokum ptur, an area of exemption, of innocence. We have a boat floating on the sea. The sea, we know, is a carmelis. When we talk about measuring the height of 10 tfachim to know whether you're within a carmelis or not, the Rav Huna is of the opinion, it's you measure from the sea floor, me'aro mashchinon. The 10 tfachim of height will will end before you get to the surface, the point from which you're drawing the water. The avira mokom pturhu, the airspace above that 10 tefach mark, is considered mokom ptur, a place of innocence, of, as its name suggests, a place of ptur, of exemption. Now, you're drawing the water from the surface of the sea. The surface of the sea, assuming here we're talking about a depth of more than 10 tefachim, the surface of the sea is considered a place of a mokom ptur, a place of exemption. So there's no problem whatsoever in drawing water from your boat while standing in the boat, which is a Rishus HaYochid, drawing it from the sea surface, which is a Mokum Ptorot. It's allowed, it's allowed as a first choice even. Ubedinu Deziz Nami Loli Boy. And technically speaking, even the little projection, the Ziz projection that we said you have to make, is not necessary. Eloki Hechi De Leheve Le Hekera. It's there for recognition purposes, and Rashi explains, so that you remember what a real Carmelist is. In other words, that you you shouldn't come to do the same thing if you were, let's say, in very shallow water, which would be a Carmelist even at the surface of the water. So as to cause people, or to activate their memory, or enable them to recall this point, we have the Ziz projection. But as far as Hilchus Shabbos proper are concerned, for this immediate case of a sea measuring more than 10 tefachim of depth, there would be no problem. Rav Chisto, we continue on the first wide line of the Gemara. Rav Chisto v'rabo bar Rav Huna amri oise mokim arbo u'memale, that you have to make a frame measuring 4x4 tefachim, and you extend that from the edge of the boat, and you draw the water up through that frame. Kosavri Carmelis Misfas Mayo Mashchinon. They are of the opinion that a Carmelis, in this case the sea, is it's measured, that you start your measure from the Sfas Maya, from the surface of the water. That's where you begin your measure. Mashchinon, as we said before, is your measurement. Maya ara smichta. The water itself is considered like solid ground. So all of the water will have a carmelis status. Ilo ovid mokum arbo. If you don't make this frame that projects from the side of the boat, kometatum mikarmelis lishus hayochid, you then are in effect drawing water from the sea into the boat, which is you're going from a Carmelis, which is a rabbinic domain, to the private domain, which is forbidden to do. As we go on in the Gemara, you will notice diamonds, and on the side, these are explained as she'elos shehufnu l'deos shehuzkru liel, questions that are directed at the opinions we saw before, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda and Rabbo Rav Huna. As you look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that we squiggle underline the names. The Gemara. Omale Rav Nachmon l'Rabbo Baravua. Rav Nachmon asks Rabbo concerning Shitas Rav Huna. At the next diamond, Rav Nachman will be asking his question, posing it to Rav Chiya Bar Oven concerning the other shitos that of Rav Chisda and Rabbo Bar Rav Huna. So here, Rav Nachman asks Rabbo Bar Avua, "Ulu Rav Huna, Tiomar Motzi Hemen Aziz Kol Shu B'Male." According to Rav Huna, who says you extend a little projection and draw the water up from the water to the boat. Zinin deleko asora. Sometimes you'll have a situation where there is less than 10 tefachim in water depth, and even if you measure from the sea floor, it's all carmelis. The kometaltel mi carmelis the rishus hayochid. So what about, doesn't Rav Huna like take that into consideration? Why does he say that all you have to do is project the little ziz, this little projection, and that's enough? Could you not encounter such a situation? Rashi on the first wide line under the Gemara. Zimna deleko v'mayim amuka asara. Sometimes you'll have water less than 10 tochem of depth. Vinami me'ara mashchinon. And even if you do measure from the floor, kula karmelisi. It's all karmelis. For simplicity purposes, just for illustration purposes, let us just imagine, just to keep things, as we say, simple, just imagine that the edge of the boat is itself very close to the surface of the water. So if you're in very shallow water, you'll be going from Carmelis into Rishus HaYochid. So what is Rav Huna? How does he deal with a situation like that? The Gemara answers, Omar le, gamrinon, ein sfinam aleches, bepochos me'asora. There is a given, a tradition, that boats will not sail in water that's less than 10 tfochim of depth. So, since the bottom of the boat is going to be in water 10 tfochim deep, and Rav Huna says you measure from the floor, the sea floor. So when you get to the top edge of the boat, you've gone more. You're drawing water from the surface. You're drawing water from something from a height of more than 10 tfochim from the sea floor. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Mursha is law." A boat might have an extension in the front of the boat that extends a type of platform, if you will, that extends out from the front of the boat. In other words, at that point of the boat, it's the bottom of it is not in the water. It's a platform, a projection in front of the boat. Now, at that point, if you're standing on this Mursha, so it's true that the bottom of the central part of the boat, the bottom of that is in water that has to be 10 tfochim deep, but when you get to the front edge of the boat, it might, at that point, the water might be very shallow, and the boat is able to float there because the middle point of the boat is in fact in water that is sufficiently deep. But as you know, the seafloor is not flat, and a type of hill might develop on the seafloor. And at the point of the front of the boat, where we said there's this mursha, this extension of the boat, which itself is not in the water, it's extended over the water. The water might be very shallow at that point, and you'll be drawing water from that point onto the platform, onto the Mursha. And being that the water is very shallow, so the surface of the water is still classified as a karmelis. Omar Rav Safra. Rav Safra answers, Gishushi Azli Kamo. Gishushi are people that have long poles that extend into the water. They stand on the boat, the edge of the boat, and long poles extend into the water in front of the boat, preventing even the front of the boat from reaching very shallow water. You can imagine if the front edge of the boat would reach a point of very shallow water, the boat could easily run aground by the time the midsection of the boat, which is in, which needs the 10th Fochim, would reach that point. So as to keep the boat out of shallow water altogether, these Gishushi are present with their extended poles. Therefore, even the Mursha of the boat will not be over the very shallow water. And as we said, according to Rav Huna, that measures the sea from the sea bottom, by the time you get to the surface, you are already at a mokum tour. So the Akira then, drawing the water from the surface of the sea under all circumstances, will be from a Mokom Ptur. So the Akira from Mokom Ptur and Hanochi in Rishus HaYochid is something that is allowed. Next, Omar Le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok the Rav Chiya Bar Oven. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok raises a question on the according to the other Shita, the Rav Chista L'Rabo Baravuna Diamri. According to them that said you're always measuring the Carmelis from the sea surface, which means the sea, it's already a Carmelis from the point that you're drawing the water. In order to be able to draw water from the sea into the boat, we make this frame that extends from the edge of the boat over the water, the frame measuring 4x4 tvachim, and imaginary walls descend into the water, creating the area under the frame as if it were a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore drawing from that point into the boat would be okay. A technical question. What about waste water that people want to throw from the boat back into the sea? How do they deal with that? If you'll claim that people will throw it down through that same spot, they won't do that. It's disgusting to them. And this question is making an assumption that they have only one frame. What should they do? Answer, the shodi luhu adafna desfina. They would pour the water over the outer edge of the boat, the dafna, the dofin is the wall, it's the outer wall of the boat, and let it trickle down the side of the boat into the water. The Gemara asks, va'iko kocho, but is there not your force is responsible for it getting into the sea? Granted, you didn't just toss the water directly into the sea. Once again, let's not forget, according to Rav Chisto and Rav Baravuna, the surface of the sea is the Carmelis. So granted that you're not throwing the water directly, splashing it directly into the sea, but nevertheless, it's your force as you pour it down the side of the boat. It's your force that causes it to get into the Carmelis. So the answer is kocho becarmelis lo gozru. Kocho, which is human force, it's the force that you apply even though it's not direct. Kocho is something that the Rabbonin did not legislate against when it comes to a Carmelis. Don't forget, Carmelis is itself a rabbinic realm. Since you're in a rabbinic realm, the Rabbanan themselves can legislate when they impose their restrictions and when not. And therefore, an action that's called kocho, as opposed to direct throwing of water into the sea, that action is not restricted. The Gemara asks, Uminot Temra, well, from where do you know this? Answer, Desanya. You'll notice we have a long answer marking, the tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line. This will take us down a number of lines down from the top of Kuf Aleph Omed Aleph. All of these lines form the answer. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. The topic heading you can see on the side of the Gemara is Kocho Becarmelis Lo Gozru. The concept of force, of human force, as opposed to a direct action. They did not legislate against Kocho when it comes to a Carmelis. Desanya, we have a source. Sfino ein metatalin lo misoicha liyam velo minayam lesocha. A boat, which is a Rishus HaYochid. You don't carry from it to the sea, nor from the sea into it. We continue at the top of Kuf Aleph Amad Aleph. Reb Yehuda Omer, Amuka Asora, V'ein Govoa Asora. If the boat has a depth of 10 tvachim, and it is within the Ein Govoa Asora, that means the edge of the boat is within 10 tefachim of the sea. Naturally, a boat can have itself the boat has a depth of 10 tefachim, but when you put it into the water, so the edge of the boat naturally becomes close to the surface of the sea. Metaltalin misoichel yam, avolo min hayam lesocha. You can transport something from the boat to the sea, but not from the sea into the boat. Well, the Gemara asks, "Mai shno min hayam lesocha delo?" Why is it that you cannot carry from the sea into the boat? The kamatalton mikarmelis shayochid, because you're transporting something from the sea, which is a karmelis, into the boat, which is a private domain. Well, mitocholi yam nami. Going from the boat into the sea also, kamatalton mishusayochid the karmelis. It's the same level of violation, and yet we're saying that's allowed. Elolav. Rather, it must be a chuda that we're talking about, pouring something over the chuda, the edge. Ushma minon, from the fact that we're allowing that, we're showing you koichi b'karmelis lo gozru, that the phenomenon of kocho, of force, is something when you're in a karmelis environment, they did not rule against it. Shma minon, so from here you see the point that we were making, and to the second line from the top, you can see we dashed underline the case in the source that bears out this point. Metaltalin misocha liam, from boat into sea, over the edge of the boat, is something that's allowed because kochi b'karmelis lo gozru. With that, we conclude our shiur for